Morning. It's actually 9 o'clock already, so I know the time goes so fast. It seems like I just got here, but morning, everyone. Welcome. Morning. Come on in. Find a seat, and there'll be ample time to fellowship right after our church service this morning, and in between church and Sunday school, of course. Always a good time of fellowship. But great to have you in the house of the Lord. Great to be with you this morning. And obviously, we're recognizing some graduates this morning, so there are all kinds of bags ready to go. Congratulations to all graduates here, and Kurt will have a lot more to say about that. Last week, we enjoyed the Markowskis and getting to know them a little bit more and understanding their ministry. And if you would still like to get in on the love gift that we took for the Markowskis, you can do that yet today. We haven't written the check yet from the church. So if you forgot to bring something last week or the Lord has laid on your heart to give to the Markowskis, just put it on your offering envelope, Markowski love gift, or just love gift. We'll know it's for the Markowskis. So you can do that yet today. Church picnic is only like 3 weeks away, maybe two. I don't know. It's coming up. It's on July 10th, so there's a sign up in the Information Center if you'd like to join us for a fantastic day of food, fun, and fellowship. Come on out to Oostburg Veterans Park, and we will enjoy a picnic there, and that's July 10th. So keep that in mind. And then lastly, I just want to remind you that we do have a baptism service in August 7th. And if you are a new believer in Christ, or maybe you've been a believer for quite some time, but you've never taken that step of obedience to be baptized by immersion, then I encourage you to talk to Pastor Kurt, and he'll tell you what it's all about, and you can partake in that. Always a great blessing to see those testifying of their faith. But Pastor Kurt, come this morning and clear off your pulpit so you got room to preach.
Yes, we do have a lot of graduates this year, some from college and most from high school. We do have, I believe, 8 graduates that we're going to be recognizing today. We do have a 9th graduate who I think is graduating in August, so we'll save that. But it's been really tough to get a Sunday when we could get all of the graduates here. I think they're all here today. We'll see in just a minute, won't we? So here's what we're going to do. Because there are so many, when I mention you as a graduate, if you would just come and stand up here in the front, and we'll just make a row. And I am excited. I mean, think about how many young people are being launched into life, could we say it that way, today, as they graduate and go on to the next step. So pleased to announce that Noah Mason, there he is. Noah, do you want to come on up? Noah has graduated from Moody Bible Institute, and that was with honors. And it's not easy to do that. Congratulations. His degree is in pastoral studies, and his future plans are to invest in youth in our church. He also plans to take a year off of school so that he can prepare for his growing family. You probably know, but Hannah is expecting. You didn't know? All right. Also, we have two more Masons, the twins. So Jonah, if you'd come up first. Jonah graduated with an associate's degree in mechanical design from LTC. He received a Program Excellence Award and also graduated with honors. But that's small stuff, really, right? It's small stuff because next Saturday he's going to be getting married. And So after marriage and with still working and all that, he's going to be pursuing a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering starting this fall. And then Luke, if you'd come up. Yeah, I know, you have to come up. All right. Luke also graduated with an associate's degree in mechanical design from LTC. He, too, we better clap because we did for the first two, graduated with honors, got the Excellence Award. He's currently working at Johnsonville with a possible co-op position this fall and will go on for his bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering while he continues to work. John has a degree. Is it in mechanical? Yeah, in mechanical engineering, and so the twins are going that way as well. All right, and next is Marcos. I hope you're, yeah, there he is. All right, Marcos, come on up. So Marcos Hernandez graduated from eAchieve Academy. That's an online program. He plans to relax this summer. That is a very smart idea. And then he's looking at possibly starting at LTC this fall. He would like to do something with video games, and I think that's probably true with about half of the teens in our church. I could try to do something with video games, but I honestly tried to play a game, was it a month ago, with Tony and Drew? It was so bad. It was so bad. I tried it about like five times in an hour or whatever, and I just like, that's it, I'm done. I couldn't do anymore. So anyway, hopefully Marcos is better than I am. All right, next is Tim Lightsky. Tim, if you'd come up. So we just celebrated his, with his graduation party yesterday. He graduated from Oostburg High School. He plans to continue his education at LTC, where he will major in industrial electromechanical automation. So the way to translate that means robots. So he already works at American Orthodontics, and he literally already does robots. That's what he does right now. So he builds them and programs their brains. In fact, the Lightskys are going to be gone for 2 weeks. They're going to be, part of it is going to be out in California because Tim's class won like so many stages, and now they're, I think, in a national competition out in California for the robot that his team built. I'm guessing Tim's a pretty big part of that. So he'll be continuing at American Orthodontics throughout his schooling. I think they're footing a lot of that bill. So congrats, Tim. Next, Thomas Mason. Yeah, we aren't done. Thomas, come on up. Thomas graduates from high school at Witt Academy and is currently working at Restoration Gardens until he determines what God's plan for him is in the future. I haven't gotten to talk with Thomas yet about what his thoughts are, but so I don't have that down here, but congrats, Thomas. And then McKenna Stelb, if you'd come on up. McKenna graduated from Sheboygan Lutheran High with high honors. Again, that's really hard to do. In addition to that, she won the Servant Leadership Award. Now, I'm guessing that's probably, is it one person only who gets that? There are four, okay. So four students who get that. You really have to set an example to win an award like that. We did that at the university where I taught. Each year, we gave it to just one, but it was really tough to win that. And so congrats on that as well. She also, so this is award number three, won the Art Department's Academic Excellence Award. She's planning to attend Concordia University in Mequon in the fall, majoring in art education, and is looking to become an art teacher. So congratulations. I'm not going to say how much because I'm not sure if I'm supposed to, but let's just say that both of the Stelb girls, I can't figure out, it can't be from Scott. It must be from Brenda where they got their smarts, but they like got some seriously deep, heavy-duty smarts from somewhere because they got some whopping big scholarships, and we're glad they did. And now, Taylor, if you'd come up. So Taylor graduated 11th in her class from Sheboygan Lutheran, also with high honors. Congrats on that. She's planning to go to Carroll College, majoring in psychology and theater arts, and she's hoping to be a psychologist. She also got one of those large, very large scholarships. So the Lord has been extremely good. But you know what? It takes a lot of hard work to get that too. So congratulations to all of them. And the bags are in order, so let me give you a gift. There are different gifts in here. They're all books, but some of them already had the one that I like to give first. And so, all right, Tim. Thomas. And McKenna. And thank you so much. All right, my time's already up, but let me still, because it's important, share some prayer requests with you. First, Randy Pasco, Eric's dad, his mom too, but his dad's here, and he asked if we would pray for his mom, Carol Ginter. She does not have long to live, so we will pray for her. Our person of the week this week is Matthew Nyhus. You here, brother? Okay. I'm not sure if he's downstairs or what. But he has a number of things that he'd like for us to pray for. So first, salvation for his grandchildren, and also how to witness to them, particularly the older two, and their names are Logan and Evelyn. Then his company is doing a big building purchase. There's an enormous amount of stress, he said, in trying to get everything in on time with the mortgage. It's a larger, much larger building here in Sheboygan. They're out a little ways now, but pray that that building purchase will go through. He also asked that we pray for employees for his business. So if you are interested in that, let him know. But he says we're all exhausted and they need more installers. So pray for salvation of the grandchildren, building purchase, employees. Fourth, he is struggling with discouragement, sometimes maybe verging into depression. And because of that, he's just lacking in sleep and is fatigued. He says depression has the double-edged sword of exhausting you while not letting you sleep. He's really been getting a lot less sleep lately. So pray for him to be able to get to bed and fall asleep. And then finally, for aging concerns. I didn't know this until this week, but he said that he's fallen twice this year. And one of those times, he doesn't know what happened. He woke up at the base of the stairs in the basement and had a little bit of, you know, damage bodily, and just doesn't even remember that. So he said, I know I'm declining, and he's 63, so sorry for all those who are older. That's it. Those are his words. But he's 63, and he says, I'm feeling it, and I'm willing to admit it. Or he will be very soon, 63. So pray for him for these requests. Our overseas servants of the week are the Moorheads, Jonathan and Sharon. I can mention their country. It's fine to do that. They live in the Czech Republic. They serve there. So he's an elder in the church. Pray for the health of the church. Pray for him as he teaches in the Czech Bible Institute. So this is a pretty big deal. There was really no conservative school at all in the entire country, okay, until he and some others, well, he didn't start it, but some others started it, and he's been there for a number of years now. But pray for the ongoing training that's happening at the Czech Bible Institute, and especially for Jonathan as he's teaching there. And then pray for Sharon for all her babies. It's you know, difficult when a child leaves a home. It's even more difficult when you live multiple thousands of miles away and cannot drive to go see, or they can't drive to come see you, obviously, with the Atlantic Ocean between them. So as they leave their home, graduate from high school, and then come to the States, there are some long stretches until she can see them again. So pray for her. And now lastly, our persecuted saint of this week is the family of a man named Kyrillos, who died after being attacked. So let me read this. On Sunday, June 5th, a suspected Islamic extremist pulled our brother, Kyrillos Nagemajili, off his motorbike and violently attacked him. The attacker shouted, Allah Akbar, meaning God is great, in Arabic, during the attack. Kyrillos died 3 days later, and today we grieve with his family. He leaves behind a wife and two daughters who must face both the tragedy of his loss as well as the legal maneuverings of the perpetrator's family. They are currently attempting to have him released by falsely stating that he is mentally ill. Kyrillos was known as a friendly man and a committed Christian. In the picture, his community surrounds the coffin. They are clearly grieving the loss of this man. So let's pray that the Lord would comfort his wife, it's just so sad, his grieving wife and children, and that the Lord would protect them in the coming days, as well as provide for them. So let's go to the Lord. Father, we begin our time in prayer by celebrating 8 lives. We have so many who have graduated this year, and we are grateful truly for their accomplishments, for their hard work in high school for most of them, college or an associate's degree for, I think, 3 or 4. We do pray as each one now takes the next step in life, that you will aid him or her in their occupation, but Lord, more importantly, in fact, much more importantly, we pray that each one will walk with you all of his or her days. May they never leave your side. May they never end up in the spiritual ditch, but instead might they find growing rest as they, some of them get married and get one case already, have children, have a home, maybe go to college, all these things that are still ahead of them, Lord. May all in all these things they be successful, and in all these things they never leave you. Give them wonderful families, lives, and we pray your great blessing upon them. We want to pray for Carol Ginter, since she does not have long to live. We do pray for the family, that you will encourage them, Randy, his wife, of course, Eric and Jamie and others. We pray for Matthew Nyhus, our dear brother. He's been more open and very honest with us in telling us these details. And so, Lord, might we be faithful this week and beyond in praying specifically for him. He has asked, and we do want for you to work in his life. And also through him, we pray for the salvation of his grandchildren, especially Logan and Evelyn. We pray for the purchase of the building, that you will enable Matthew to get all the rest of the paperwork in order, and that things will go at least smoothly enough that they can close on the building and move in and take possession and get it prepared. We pray that since they're all exhausted and they've been short of employees like so many businesses are, that you will provide that very thing, new employees, good employees, to come in and help their business. We also pray for Matthew, in particular, for his discouragement, maybe sometimes moving into depression. He even asked to be pictured with Julie. And so, Lord, there it is tough sometimes, and I can only kind of understand what it would be like to lose a spouse and then to have the kinds of stresses and pressures that he has on him with an incredibly fast-growing business. They just cannot keep up. And so, Lord, just allow him to get the kind of sleep that he needs. And since he's suffering from deep fatigue, we pray that you'll rejuvenate his body and his mind and help him to get into a good rhythm. We also ask for his aging concerns. He's fallen a couple of times this year. It's odd. He's not had this before. And so, Lord, we pray that whatever might be the cause, perhaps it's just exhaustion, that you'll help, that you'll cause this to cease. Then we pray for the Moorheads in the Czech Republic, for their church as he serves there as an elder, along with Roddick, and a small church, but a vibrant church. Lord, we pray that you will continue to use that in their village of Kuzim, 10,000 people, to reach the lost. Very dark land, very agnostic or atheistic. We also pray for the Czech Bible Institute. We are grateful that you have guided men to start this, and we pray that it will continue to make a lasting impact in this country. And with the 40 to 50 students who are there, some of them taking an online class, others very fully involved, we just pray that some of them would be called by you to go into ministry and plant churches in some cases, cities of over a million that either have no church or have very, very few. And then we pray for Sharon with all of her babies flying the coop, coming over to the States, going to school here, probably not returning to the Czech Republic. We do pray for her that you will give her peace of mind as she can at least pray for them and FaceTime with them and call them. And then we pray for Kirillos' family, for his wife and children, since he was ripped off of a motorcycle, brutally beaten and passed now. We ask that you'll protect them, that you will give them emotional stability during these weeks and months ahead. And we also pray for provision for this family, that you will not let them starve, but take good care of them, we would ask. And now for our service, that it would be one that would encourage fathers, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God our Father, we adore thee. Let's stand and sing together. God our Father, we adore thee. We thy children bless thy name, chosen in the Christ before thee. We are holy without blame. We adore thee. Son, and Holy Spirit, those in Christ, we give thee praise for the riches we inherit, and then voice to thee we raise. We adore thee, we adore thee, and nowadays we adore thee. The Lord on high is mighty. I will read and you will respond. There's a place for everyone, for men, women. So you just watch where your part comes in. Okay. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The world is firmly established.
It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago, even for all eternity.
The seas have lifted up, O Lord.
The seas have lifted up their voice.
The seas have lifted up their pounding waves.
Mightier than the thunder of the great waters.
Mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty.
Your statutes stand firm.
Holiness is your house for endless days, O Lord.
The Lord on high is mighty.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad, and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule a day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He found the slaves within his word, and then pronounced them good. Your banner, let the anthems ring, praises to our King. Great and mighty is the Lord our God, great and mighty is He. Thank you, you may be seated. Let's pray. Father, certainly you are great and mighty. You are God and the only God to whom we bow and give thanks and praise all the time. Father, we thank you for this glorious day that you have given us. You've blessed us abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And to you, we bring honor and glory. Thank you for this time of worship in our giving. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading today can be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 to chapter 2, verse 11. Please stand for the reading of God's word if you're able. But I call God to witness against me. It was to spare you that I refrained from coming again to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. For I made up my mind not to make another painful visit to you. For if I cause you pain, who is there to make me glad but the one whom I have pained? And I wrote as I did, so that when I came, I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice. For I felt sure of all of you that my joy would be the joy of you all. For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart, and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you. Now, if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but, in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough, so that you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. For this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs.
How deep the Father's love. Father's love for us, how vast beyond all. pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which linger on the ground bring many sons to glory. Behold a man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was a that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have been my ransom. Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, happy Father's Day to all of the fathers here in our church this morning and those who are watching online. Some are downstairs, but happy Father's Day. I have been at our church for 8 Father's Days now, and yet this is the first Father's Day message I have ever preached here. Why is that? Because typically we're down in South Carolina at this time. We usually, as soon as the kids graduate, head down to South Carolina to see family for a week or maybe 2 weeks. But this year, with my mom's passing, we've been down already twice in just the last couple of months. And so I'm actually here on Father's Day, and I actually got to prepare and will now preach a message for all of the men who have children. I'm going to share an illustration that I believe I have shared one time before. I don't remember what sermon it was or what the venue was, but it just fits so perfectly with the message. This illustration is from James Dobson's book, Bringing Up Boys. And in his book, he shares an illustration, true story, of something that happened in a penitentiary in California. Hallmark Cards decided to do a promotional. I'm not sure if they were videotaping it or what, but they wanted to do a promotional. So on Mother's Day, Hallmark Cards, locally there, went to the penitentiary and gave out a whole bunch of free Mother's Day cards. They literally had a run on those cards, and they actually had to go back to the warehouse and get a whole bunch more and bring them back because basically all the prisoners wanted to write a Mother's Day card. So they thought, you know what, this is perfect. We'll do this again, and we'll make it an even bigger deal. We'll do it on Father's Day. So this time they came prepared. They had boxes and boxes of Father's Day cards. And according to James Dobson, guess how many Father's Day cards were picked up and used by the prisoners? Zero. Not one prisoner came to get a Father's Day card.
That's an extreme example, but the truth is most moms naturally care for their children. They just do. They naturally love them. But that is not so with dads. It is not the case that most of them naturally care for their children or love them. So our goal today is to search the scriptures about fathering, where we will learn that one grand truth about being a Christian dad. And it's this, dads. We should model Jesus for our children as we teach them what it means to walk with the Lord. That's easy to say, but how do we do that practically speaking? Well, let's turn to the Word, where we'll find four pieces of advice on the how part of being a father. Our Lord, this morning as we open your Word, may it richly instruct us. Lord, this is not going to be a message to criticize fathers, but rather to instruct and encourage them in continuing on what they have already been doing. We have so many good dads in our church, and we pray that especially those who are expecting their first child or who have little ones, we pray for all of them that they will glean from the scriptures that are read and expounded today. Bless us, we ask, our fathers, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so four pieces of advice on the how of being a father. And the first one is, love your children. Mom's normal, not so much with dad. So, Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Do you know what verse precedes this one? Literally, the verse immediately before this. As far as the east is from the west, so far has the Lord removed our transgressions from us. That is, Psalm 103 the entire thing is about forgiveness. It's about going to God after doing boneheaded things, stupidity, sinning, and pleading your case with him and seeking forgiveness from him. So, in the very next verse to the one I quoted, it says, as a father shows compassion to his children. Men, reflect God's love to your children. If I could give you any piece of advice, it would be from this right here. Reflect God's love to them. I have four kids, okay? Your kids are going to mess up. They are going to sin. They're going to just do dumb things. They're going to get on your nerves, all those things. Look, they're going to mess up. Psalm 103 is about messed up people who need forgiveness. Forgive your kids. Let as much slide as you can. Deal with those things that you have to, but don't be dour. Be loving. Be caring for them. Forgive them like your heavenly Father forgives you. That's Psalm 103. As a father shows compassion to his children. This will make a world of difference in your child's life. Your child has within him or her divine programming in their minds that requires parenting and love from two people, a man and a woman. A dad and a mom, a father and a mother. God has programmed this into their minds. I did some other research and read some articles, and I realized I wasn't going to have time anyway, so I didn't include all these details, but it was blowing my mind how many American kids grow up. It's incredible in the millions. Grow up without any father in the home. And then the percentages of those kids who end up, and they had all kinds of stats, just unbelievable, but it's not, you can tell, it's just not good. It's not good. Now, God sometimes takes a father, and there is no, this is just the Lord's will in that instance, but so many times those fathers just leave the home, and they're absent, and it drastically affects their kids. Your children need the love of a dad. If they don't have that male love, then the boys are going to seek that male love from another male figure. Not necessarily in a sinful way, but it may be from an older man. It could be from a peer. Either way, but especially if it's a peer, you know what will happen to them? They'll be so clingy. They'll be so needy that they'll smother that other person that should just be a good friend in a way that's just not healthy, and that other person will end up repelling them. Very often, that's the case. They need, yes, your discipline too, but they need your love. If it's a girl, she's probably going to seek that from a boyfriend. And that is not a good recipe, because he may very well take advantage of her. Not a good scenario. Love your boys and your girls. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children." How did the Apostle Paul deal with the church at Thessalonica? This is perhaps his very first letter that Paul wrote, chronologically speaking, 1 Thessalonians. And so he says, this is how, you know, and others on the second missionary journey, were treating these newfound believers. They were encouraging with them, comforting, and they were urging them to live lives worthy of God. And his illustration that he uses is, this is how a father treats his children. So they need encouragement. Your men, your kids need encouragement. Comparison kills. Do not compare them with others. You know, you might have one who doesn't get as high of an ACT score as the others, feels badly. You know, you don't criticize that. You encourage them. You don't compare that. You help them and work with them. They need comforting. I mean, the interactions that they have, whether it's sports, it might be on the playground, it's at school, other employees at work, maybe a difficult boss, whatever the case may be, they're going to come home, and there'll be times when they really need you to sense something's wrong and come alongside of them, pardon me, with comforting words. It may be a baseball or soccer game didn't go well. Maybe they're disappointed with grades. Maybe they're fearing that they're going to lose a friend, or, you know, maybe there's some kind of financial stress in your home. Just encourage them. Psalm 19, verse 14, another idea or piece of advice from God about loving. Psalm 19:14 is one of the first verses that I ever memorized. And it was right after I got saved. I was painting, I believe it was our old church building, with a man in the church, and he was memorizing this verse, so I memorized it along with him. But it's Psalm 19:14, and in that verse it says, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made." So for a minute, I'm just going to address the kids here. I'm going to try to look around and catch as many of the, there are a lot of children in here, some are downstairs, I know, but looking you in the eyes, kids, young people, teens, you are special. And dads, you don't have to say it like that, but your words and actions over their lifetime should speak volumes this way, telling them that they're special, not overdoing it and you do it at the right times, but tell them they're special. Handsome or not, beautiful or not, short or tall, thin or plump, acne or no, smart or not so smart, oozing with talent or not, athletic or not, whatever the case might be. Look, you might, well, I can't do anything. What if your kid comes to you and says, I don't know, Dad, I don't know if I can do anything. Yes, son or daughter, you know, God has a special place for you. Why? Because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Love them like that. They all need those words at times. Even the ones that are super talented or handsome or whatever, even they need those words. Second piece of advice on the how of being a father is to raise your children to walk with the Lord. This one's big. It's big. Raise your children to walk with the Lord. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. This may be a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, but it's evidently one person of the Godhead speaking to another. So perhaps it's the Son Jesus speaking to his Father. But he says this about why he chose Abraham to be the one through whom the promised seed would come. For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord. Train children to walk in the way of the Lord. Abraham was a good dad because he honored the Lord in his household. And you know what? Isaac got that. All right, you know, genuine godliness is catching. Pharisaic righteousness is damaging. There's a difference between a Pharisaic righteous dad and a dad who, yeah, messes up, but and sins in front of the kids sometimes and maybe at them, but there's something majorly different between a genuine dad who's, yeah, blowing it from time to time, but is godly and living it out in front of them versus, you know, a rules type of do this, don't that, always discipline, never love. You know, you can just feel what, you know, that's not a good recipe, right? So loving those kids and training them up. Proverbs 22, verse 6, our next verse, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. A compendium verse in the New Testament from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. How do you train them? Think about this now, fathers. Training them. It's not just living the life in front of them. That's big. But it's much more than that. It is training. When you know, Noah graduated from Moody. He went down there for 4 years of training. We had seven other graduates, two from LTC, I think it was, and what would that leave? I hope I have my math right. Five more from high school. So, you know, you've got eight graduates. We still have one coming later this summer who have been in training, the ones in high school. I mean, 4 years of high school, 3 years of middle school or junior high. I mean, you've got 6 years of, I mean, a training. They're done with training, right? They're ready. They're glad to be finished, at least with this far. Some of them are crazy enough to go on to college. I'm joking. But training. What does it mean to train? Training is so much more than just living in front of them. It is being actively involved in the teaching and serving and ministering aspect that both parents need to be involved with. So training up a child, what does that mean? I mean, we're trying to be practical. I mean, I've written these things. It's, you know, play with them, pray with them, teach them. Let me break that down a little more. Play with them. Be involved with their lives. Fathers, especially for the young ones. Like I see, you know, Eric Pasco back there. He's doing this right now. He's like, oh, my goodness. Oh, no. How am I going to? I don't know. This is too much, man. All right, no, I'm just putting words in his mouth. I don't think he's thinking that. But, play with them. Be involved from an early age. From reading I've done, your child is essentially mostly done with emotional development by what age? Mostly done with emotional development not all development, but emotional. Like their emotions, what they're going to be as they get adult, become adults, is pretty much set by three. So dads, if you're thinking, well, I'll start working with them when they can hit the T-ball, five or four or something like that. And, I won't do the sound effect. It's like, no, involved when they're little. Down on your belly playing Matchbox cars or Lincoln Logs or Legos or whatever they like to do. With your girl, I don't know about Barbies, maybe not. I don't know. Just don't let your wife take any pictures of you doing that. But, playing with them. Okay, having fun with them, read a book to them, have them sit on your lap and read them books. And yeah, it gets old, the same books. I mean, have a lot, but they still have their favorites. I did with the kids, it was called A Day Out with Daddy. I've ever sung my song for you. You guys want to hear my song? All right, no. My kids are like, no. All right, I'm going to do it just because they're shaking their head no. All right, so look, if they're already about nine, then don't start. Don't start. Don't do the song. But if they're younger than that, man, they love the song. And they'll sing the song loudly with you in the car as you're going to do their thing. But, a day out with Daddy, a day out with Daddy is so much fun, is so much fun. I can just hear, like, Phil and Drew and Tony in the back, belting it out. I made it up. I mean, I didn't get the tune from anywhere, as you could probably tell. But then, a day out with Daddy is so much fun. And then it would be Daddy and Drew's the oldest one here. So Daddy and Drew are going to the zoo or whatever we'd be doing. And then it would be, so we'd go to some place to go do something. And then it would be to eat out, usually like McDonald's or Wendy's, something cheap, but go to eat out. And then the big one, $10. It's not maybe as much today, but 10 bucks. They got to go to Walmart, down the toy aisle, and pick something out. Wow, was that a big deal. All right. Now, I don't know. It depends on how many kids you have. I mean, if you just have one, you can probably do a day out with Daddy pretty regularly. But if you have a large family, I mean, it may be just once a year or once every other year. For us, I probably did a day out with Daddy, I'm guessing, twice a year with each kid, something like that. So I don't want to put a burden on you as fathers or make you think that, you need to do this all the time every month or something. No. But make it special and do things with them as they get older, a periodic restaurant visit once a year, something like that. Time special just with them. But more importantly than how you do it is this. Dads, talk with your children constantly. We're not communicators, most of us. I mean, we kind of are, some of us kind of, but does it come naturally to just talk with them? To literally just spend time finding out what's going on? Because you know what's going to happen. If you just say, well, how was school? Or, how did the, whatever go? Fine. That's all you're going to get. You have to go past that. You have to ask better questions or keep asking questions and get into their lives. Regular communication. Fathers, regular communication is huge. So routine talk, just talk about whatever, just routine, regular talk. Have fun talk. I'm going to use one of the men in here. Sorry, I didn't ask permission ahead of time, but John Mason is really good at fun talk. I've seen him so many times, with his kids, and he's just fun, and he'll pick on them, but not in a bad way, in a fun way. He's just fun. Fun talk, having fun with them, have mentoring talk. I mean, routine talk, fun talk, have good times with them, but mentoring talk. I mean, a goodly dose of one-on-one with the child, and sometimes it's corporally as well, but mentoring talk, because they need mentoring in so many different ways. It's a big job. And then serious talk when something isn't right. And you parents can usually tell, not always maybe, but you can just see it. emotionally on their faces. Something's not right. That's maybe the hardest of all, because they don't necessarily want to open up. So you have to, you know, do it just right and keep working and help, because they need help when their face looks like that. Even if they don't think they want help or don't, you know, really want to open up, they do. So keep working with them. Fathers, even the teens in here, listen to the things that I'm saying, because it won't be long if the Lord blesses you with a wife or a husband that you'll have kids and you'll be right here. So play with them, but pray with them. Since I've already done this part in other messages, I'm only going to mention this briefly. But daily family devotions, that is sitting down with them and focusing a bit of time, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, sometimes it's longer in our family, but, you know, with the Lord, around the Word, that's essential. It's not an option. It's essential. Devotional time. Play with them. Pray with them. And with devotions, I mean, we do probably predominantly Bible reading, but we also do Bible games. I won't go into that. We read a lot of biographies, missionary biographies especially, or biographies of major people in church history. Play with them, pray with them. Men, also teach them. I'm going to rattle off a few things here. That's a lot to take in, I know. But teach them. Men, teach your children the scriptures. Teach them wisdom with church about how important this is. They need to hear that from you. Teach them wisdom with worldly philosophies. Look out, they're everywhere. Things like creation and evolution and how to interact with all the crazy ideas that are old and some that are new and are hitting America now. But just there's so much. Mom and dad together are a team, but that's important stuff. Teach them wisdom with friends, how to interact with friends and advice. Wisdom with the opposite gender. That's a big thing. Fathers, do that for your sons and daughters. Wisdom with money. Teach them about having a little bank account and when they get a job, doing some saving and, you know, maybe a little bit about 401k, and it's not too early. Teach them these things. Teach them to respect you and their mother. That's not an option. Absolutely not an option. That's a big, you've got to teach them to respect their parents and also their elders. You want kids who are just a mess at work, they can't work with a boss. A boss is always the one with a problem. All this, that's probably going to come from the home. Okay, criticism in the home of others. Don't do that. Instead, teach them to respect others. Teach them how to work. Work hard and play hard and never confuse the two, someone has said. Teach them how to work hard. Make them expect this from them. Expect these things. These are just basics. But ethics. Teach them not to steal, not to lie, not to cheat. Where does that come from? First and foremost, these things come from the home. So teach them. What should you do when they turn about 10? They're starting to go from concrete thinking to abstract, meaning they really don't truly understand abstract concepts until, for girls, it's about 11 to 12, and for boys, it's about 12 to 13. Okay, their minds are going to do a major shift. It's like going from first to fifth gear over the course of about a year. Takes about 6 months to a year. Their minds are going to literally expand. Maybe they'll understand what's happening. Maybe they won't, but you need to. So fathers, you treat an 8-year-old differently from how you treat a 14-year-old. When my boys started turning 10 and Beth, I always respected my kids. I did not disrespect my children. But, man, when they hit about 10, they are respected in our home. Okay, they have responsibilities and expectations, but they're also respected. But I'm just telling you, this is what I did. This is my advice to you, especially for those who have younger boys or girls. So probably when they were about 10, I started with, okay, because when they're 10, you are hero. Their mentors are their heroes at that point. It's a perfect time to start. So when they're 10, I started telling them, Phil, when he turned 10, Phil, right now you think dad is the greatest thing. Okay. But when you turn about 14 to 15, there's going to be something that's going to happen, and it's going to last until you're about 19 or 20. And here's what it is. You are going to think that you are smarter than mom and dad. And I mean, I'm deadly serious. Boys, how many times have you heard that? Go ahead, just blurt it out. What? Louder? Only 20? Okay. All right. I thought it was a lot more. Anyway, they heard that so much. Why? Here's what I'd tell them. When you're 16, you know, and I'm much more kind. I'm kind of in a mood now, but I'd just say, look, you don't know diddly squat. You know, when you're 16, you know nothing, kid. You're so stupid. You're dumb. And I'm breaking all the rules I just said, like respect them. But, you know, I'm having fun with it, right? You know, that's how I do it. That's literally how I do it. But you don't. They don't. They don't understand. They think they know everything, and they think you know nothing. But guess what happens? When they hit about 20, 21, 22, maybe even earlier, all of a sudden it just flips back. Like, not to the same like when they were 10, but man, by the time they're 20, they're starting to realize, I really don't know anything. Oh, my goodness. Whoa, man, maybe I should go talk to dad about this. Whoa, yeah. But boy, whoa, when they're in that unmagical age of, you know, 14 to 18, 19, they think they have the world. They're going to solve all problems. They're going to fix everything. And you know nothing, and they know everything. Oh, so what do you do with all the kids? Start early. I will always respect you. I will always love you. But when you get to this age, this is going to be your tendency. So just know beforehand that eventually you're going to grow out of it, and you're going to realize that dad, who's 50 or 40 or whatever the age, oh, he knows like way more knowledge and experience than when you're 15. Okay, just hugely more. So start early. And then when they turn 13, that's a major time of instruction. Even scripturally, I think I could prove that this is when they become adults. There is no teenage, fathers. There is no teenage. It's an American concept. It's an unbiblical concept. What do I mean? I mean that you, when you're a teenager, you can kind of just blow it and just have fun and just kind of, you know, no. No, when they're 13, that responsibility sets in right then. So teach them that. Third, model Christ for your children. Model Christ. Fathers, Ephesians 6:4, do not provoke your children to anger. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. How about one more time? Because this is stated more than once by the Apostle Paul. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. What does that mean? It means, first of all, be humble with your kids. Yeah, dads need to be humble with their kids. You're in charge. They need to know that. Okay, I mean, that needs to be very clear. You are in charge. But you treat them with respect. They should be feeling an attitude change from us fathers when they are turning about 10-ish, you know? Otherwise, you're going to lose them, or there's a good chance you'll lose them. Don't provoke them. Proverbs 17:27. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Now, I realize that most of the fathers in here are not going to be able to be as cool as me. All right, that's a joke. All right, that's not what the word means. It does not mean like cool. No, no. Listen to the words again or look at them on your handout. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. He who has a cool spirit, an even-tempered dads. Ooh, that's a big one. Even-tempered dads, not up here and down here and just flying off the handle and losing it. Now, you're going to probably lose it a little bit, you know, as they're growing, but... And so deal with that, deal with yourself and with them then when you do that. But look, yeah, be a cool dad, but be an even-tempered father. Can I put it this way? Because I want this to lock in, right? So an illustration will help to lock this in. Don't be a jerk with your kids. What? What do you mean? All right, you know how hard it is when you're at work to deal with a difficult boss. You've all, if you're, you know, if you've been in the work world, probably you've had to work with a difficult boss or maybe coworker. Very difficult. They were, could we just use the word jerk? You know, the boss is a jerk or the coworker is a jerk. Just a jerk. And you almost can't stand it. In fact, you're thinking about changing jobs because of the atmosphere at work. It's so difficult. Wake up at whatever time, 6 in the morning, and I have to get ready to get to work at 8. And I just don't want to go. And I can't wait for the bell to ring at 5 p.m. on Friday. Because I just need to get away from there. My boss, if you just... All right. We've been there with the jerk boss. So, you know how hard it is to work for a difficult boss? Don't be a difficult dad. Don't be a dad. Don't be the very epitome of the boss that you don't like at home. Okay, don't do that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Same words as in Ephesians 6, but there's a little bit added. Fathers, don't provoke your children. There's a reason why the apostle says this more than once. Don't provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Let's focus on that word, discouraged. Discouraged. You will discourage them by yelling. So just like flat out, I'll just say it. Never, 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 never yell. I have, but it is fewer than this many times in all their years. And I don't mean if they're about to touch the stove or run in the street. I mean like in anger, yelled at them. Fewer than this many times with all my kids in our home. But it has happened. So when it happens, what do you do? Because it may happen more than 5 times or 3 or whatever times in your home. What do you do? Humility. You swallow your pride and you go to them once you're calm and you ask for their forgiveness. Wow. You want to talk about a powerful learning lesson right there. Yeah, be humble with your kids. They are God's gift to you and you can discourage them if you refuse to be honest and open with them. You'll discourage them if you yell at them. You'll discourage them if you refuse to ask forgiveness when you blow it. And there'll be other ways that you blow it that you need to, I said something about so-and-so, whatever, did this, and I was wrong, would you forgive me? That needs to happen when it's necessary. You'll discourage your kids every time you're moody. When you're angry, you will discourage them by griping in front of them, complaining incessantly and gossiping. You're just going to discourage them. All those sins of the tongue, which are from the heart, the soul, they all bring discouragement. Maybe most of all, this is probably the number one way. You want to ruin your kid? Okay, this is how to do it. So big notes, don't do this. Don't put them down ever. Never don't do it. Do not put your son or daughter down. Do not make cutting remarks ever about them. Now, when they do something silly or stupid, I like to have fun with it. So it's not uncommon. My boys, Beth, are probably going to know what I'm about to say. I'll pick on Phil since he's not here. But, Phil, I don't know, I can't even remember anything right now, but, Phil does something really boneheaded, and I'll just say, yeah, well, we're real proud of Phil, and then, and just something. We'll have fun and do stuff like that, but there's a big difference between, the kid kicked over the something and spilled it versus he really did or she did something not great. Maybe it's sinful. Maybe it's just dumb. Maybe it's even small, but, putting them down, cutting remarks, that's how you're going to destroy your kids right there. And it only takes once. And they aren't going to forget that. It's going to stick with them. Multiple times you ingrain that into them, and they're going to have problems, spiritual and emotional problems, because that's not how God is. And you are the Heavenly Father's representation on earth. So if that's how you are, they will tend to think of maybe the Father in heaven is a little bit like that too. He's not, of course. Finally, teach yourself to enjoy your children. Proverbs 23:24. Maybe we don't need this reminder, but we have it anyway. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. The hard work's worth it, but boy, it is hard work. Raising a kid does take a lot of effort. 3 John verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. The Apostle John is talking about a church, but the illustration essentially that he's using, or the analogy, is that fathers have great joy in their children when they hear that they're doing well. That is, walking in the truth. This idea of joy in one's spiritual children is derived from one's physical children. So in conclusion, you might ask, what if I did all that, but they have still walked away from the Lord? That is real, and that is painful. So let's close with one more piece of scriptural advice, this time from Luke 15, verse 20. But while he was still a long way off, this is talking about the prodigal son when he'd returned home, he took his inheritance early and wasted it, which was a terrible shame and a deep insult to a father in an Eastern setting, even would be today, but hey, I wish you were dead, but give me your money anyway. Yeah, even here, that wouldn't go over well, but there, even worse. This was that son. Could care less about anybody but himself. But while he was still a long way off, his father looked at him and said, that worthless. No, not at all. That while that son was, when he could see somebody coming, he said, is that my boy? How does he respond? His father saw him and felt compassion, love. The boy who made me look bad in the community, and yeah, doesn't matter. He's far more important than what somebody says behind my back. No, I felt compassion and ran. Look, men don't run in the Middle Eastern world. They don't run unless there's an emergency or a war's on. So to run, you're shaming yourself by your sandals a-clacking and your dress, because men wore kind of like dresses. They're flowing in the wind. Can you just see this guy running down his driveway, if you want to call it that, to his son that wasted everything, and he embraced him and kissed him. This is the proper, the loving response of a father who has a wayward child. there is hope. Keep loving and praying, even when they feel as distant to you as the prodigal must have felt, at least in the illustration to this father. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray that you will give us a church full of godly men, fathers who love and set an example and care for their kids and work hard to train them, go out of their way to make their children respected and have that sense of care. Lord, give us all wisdom. Each of us fathers needs wisdom on nearly a daily basis for how to work with each child. They're all so different. Lord, just give us that grace we need daily to be the example. Lord, we're not going to be perfect, but just use us. Use us to raise up the next generation of difference makers, of ambassadors, of disciples of your Son, our Lord Jesus. And may all of our children, through all their days, walk in your ways, we pray, in our precious, loving Savior's name, the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Let's stand and sing together. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow. They fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
All I have need in thy hand hath grown.
you for that good singing. You are dismissed.